Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hit 'em high,
and you hit 'em low,
hit 'em low.
Going right to the hole. Your ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame, coming through like a train. Looking to take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up, first shake a 3-point gun in this. Get out the lane, I'm coming through, and if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step, I'm closing in on your position, and destruction is my mission, no. 8 is not enough, the whole squad better duck. It's like Swiss when I bust, now your whole crew is dust. Coming through my area, I'ma have to bury you. The real scream team on your screen scene. It's like showdown under Rango, tell me who wanna tangle with together with Stock a neighborhood superhero.
Came to bring the ultimate pain upon the brain, untamed. You will like it when I change into a type strange. Make low maniacal, monster in the game. And I got my eye on you, dead shot aim. And free throws keep coming down like rain. You feeling me, I'm feeling you, the monster gang. I'm telling you, pass me the rock, now I'm headed to the basket. Get up out my way, it's what you better do. My tactics is unsportsmanlike conduct, you better ask it. Don't get no better than this. You catch my drift, you get stripped by ball handlers, ruled by swag hammer. Danger, you dealing with official hoop bangers. With hang time, like a coat hanger. Jump with thunderous 360 degree tight dunks. What up, Doc? The monster funk.
Lightning strikes, the court lights get dim. Supreme competition is about to begin. Up off the rim, finessing it, moves is animated. Once I get the ball in, I can't be deflated. A rugged paw, my monsters is getting money. With clicks, get the bugging, I'm snatching up their bunnies. Every step I take shakes the ground. I make you break your ankle, son, shake you down. This is my planet, about business, the best that ever done it. Can I get a witness? A cumulus cloud brings darkness up above. You in it for the money or in it for the love, MJ? 23 ways to make a pay. Lounging in the mothership back around my way. A 28 light years old. If the rap get political, dribble like Bob Dole. Am I getting lyrical? Daddy, I think so. Monster, top of flavor, fluid, no 20 flow.
Rocket Nation, welcome to another installment of the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Rocket is here, happy to be with you on this interesting Wednesday night. Not sure where your current location is, but here in Michigan, it's another rainy day. Most of the snow is disappearing. That springtime atmosphere is starting to come into play a little bit, but nonetheless, it's one of those days, but it's a good day to be alive, so take the time to be thankful and appreciate what you got in front of you, because somewhere, somebody is praying for what you currently have. We are 12 days away officially from the start of the 2014 MLB season. And I got to say, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great year. A lot of teams have been loading up during the offseason. A lot of moves have been made. A lot of teams are really trying to assert themselves to be the next evolution. You know what I mean? That next big thing to hit the MLB waves. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited for it, and I can't wait. I'm happy. This is what it's about. This is one of the more exciting times of the year in sports. And speaking of, we know what the main thing is going on right now, and that is March Madness. I gotta say, I'm happy that this tournament is kicking into high gear. The NIT started last night. We got more games that are taking place tonight. We got a lot of ground to cover here, and I'm just excited. I'm excited for what lies ahead. I'm not so sure if any of you are aware of this, but there is, on Yahoo.com, there is, in the sports section, they have what is called the Quicken Loans Billion Dollar Bracket. It's a challenge that they have collaborated with Yahoo Sports to do. It's a chance for you to win $1 billion. Of course, your bracket has to be 100% accurate, especially with your final four teams. But, you know, it's an opportunity. And it's not like it's costing you money to sign up and to fill this bracket out. It's something that's been duplicated online, and it's something that it's an opportunity for somebody to make something happen out there. So if you get a chance, check it out on Yahoo. I actually went ahead and did it for fun the other night. I haven't officially filled out a bracket the last two years, actually, just for the simple fact that something happened to a team that I had going to the Final Four, going to the Elite Eight, or the Final, the Top Two, or whatever. Somebody was suspended. Somebody suffered a serious injury. Somebody was cut from the team due to academic reasons. Whatever you want to call it, that individual was no longer part of the team during their tournament run. And that screwed things up completely for my bracket. So I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to fill out no bracket. I'm just going to leave it alone. And I'm not even going to attempt to do it. It just wasn't worth it for me. So I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the game. That was the plan, and that's going to be the plan this year. So good luck to everybody who does a bracket, who fills out a bracket, whether you do it on paper, whether you do it online, whether you do it in a tournament with a bunch of your friends and you're trying to win some money. Good luck to you. You know, it's a competitive thing, but nonetheless, you know, it's an exciting time. I can't wait. Like I said, we had some games that kicked off last night in the NITs, which, of course, you know, is the starters. Tournament presentation for the big boys, you know. I'm just going to run down some real quickly, just some games that took place yesterday. And we had a lot of them. I mean, boy, we had a whole lot. Number 4, St. Mary's defeated number 5, Utah, 70-58. Number 2, Missouri over number 7, Davidson, 85-77. Number 1, Minnesota over number 8, High Point, 88-81. Number 3, Clemson, they took out number 6, Georgia State, 78-66. Number 5, Belmont put on a big upset, a 15-point beatdown over number 4, Green Bay, 80-65. Number 3, Arkansas takes care of business over number 6, Indiana State, 91-71. Florida State, number 1, they took care of business, barely, against their rival, Florida Gulf Coast, narrowly, 58-51. Yeah, that's a little bit of pause for concern for some people out there, but hey, anytime you're going up against somebody in a tournament and that team knows you like the back of your head, yeah, well, you know, you can't always expect it to be what it is, you know, a severe blowout. A win is a win, and some teams will take it as that, as they should. So call it as you want, and, you know, just, you know, it is what it is. We also had, and I'm just running out some more scores real quickly. San Diego took out Portland State 87-65 in a game between two teams that were unranked. Number 12 NC State went up against number 12 Xavier. NC State was the victor, 74-59. And again, you know, these are just the NIT games. I just want to clarify that real quickly. Columbia beat Valparaiso 58-56. Sam Houston State with a big beat down over Alabama State, 71-49. And how about this? The number one team lost. St. John's upset it by number 8, Robert Morris, 89-78. And up until now, I had no idea who Robert Morris was. I'm sorry. I should be ashamed. I am. I'm ashamed of that. I should be. Siena over Stony Brook by a score of 66-55. Number 4, Georgetown, taking care of number 5, West Virginia, 77-65. Eastern Michigan, all right, beating Norfolk State 58-54. Wright State beating East Carolina 73-59. East Tennessee State 79 to Chattanooga 66. Virginia Military 111 to Canisius, who scored 100. Wow, talk about a high-scoring college basketball game. That doesn't always happen like that. And number 16, Albany over number 16, Mount St. Mary's, 71-64. Like I said, we got some games that are kicking off tonight. We got some games that are just getting started. Right now we got Cal Poly and Texas Southern. Number 16, Cal Poly and number 16, Texas Southern. We got number 2, Illinois against number 7, Boston U. Cleveland State against Ohio. South Dakota State against Old Dominion. Hampton against Penn State. Quinnipiac against Yale. Akron against IPFW. And Towson against South Carolina Upstate. Those games are currently in progress right now. The later games are going to be going down. It's number 6, Iona against number 3, Louisiana Tech. Number 7, Vermont against number 2, Georgia. These are games that are going to be kicking off later. We also have Wyoming against Texas A&M. Number 7, Vermont against number 2, Georgia. Princeton against Tulane. Morehead State against Illinois State. Murray State against Missouri State. North Dakota against Nebraska, Omaha. Number 6, Toledo against number 3, Southern Mississippi. TANU Corpus Christi against Northern Colorado. Number 8, UC Irvine against number 1, SMU. Fresno State against UTEP. Number 11, Iowa against number 11, Tennessee. Pacific against Grand Canyon. Radford against Oregon State. Number 5, LSU against number 4, San Francisco. And number 7, Utah Valley against number 2, California. Those are games that are going to be taking place later on tonight. And I'm looking, these are all competitive games. Say what you want about the NIT, but the NIT is a very competitive tournament. No disrespect to them, none whatsoever. Before we really kick things off into high gear, we have some birthdays we got to pass out. And, you know, this has been a while since we've done this, but, you know, we always have to, pay a little homage to some of the past, former, and even current athletes who have birthdays. In the NFL, we have a birthday to a former top draft pick, quarterback named Rick Myers. Some of you probably don't remember who this guy was. It's funny because I was actually watching on YouTube just yesterday the top 10 draft bust of all time, and he just happened to be on the list, unfortunately, because of the expectations. He was drafted number 1. He was drafted in the first round of the 1993 draft. He was the number 2 pick behind Drew Bledsoe, who was taken by the New England Patriots. Rick Meyer was taken by the Seattle Seahawks that year. He was actually there for three seasons before being traded to the Chicago Bears. He actually had one of the better rookie seasons in the history for a quarterback. He played well. You're talking about quarterbacks like Troy Aikman, who was horrendous his rookie year. He'll be the first to acknowledge that. Peyton Manning, he played well his rookie year. It wasn't the best rookie passing milestone for a quarterback, but, you know, we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks not necessarily play great their rookie year, and that's common. He actually threw for 2,832 passing yards his rookie season, which will turn out to be the highest of his career in any season. He threw 12 touchdowns and 17 interceptions that year. The problem with him was, and this guy was already being built and being overhyped as the next Joe Montana, according to the great, late Bill Walsh, a former head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, who built that dynasty team back in the 1980s. Everybody, including him, felt like Rick Meyer was going to be the next Joe Montana. That turned out to not be such the case, really, because he could only throw to the left side of the field. He wasn't good at throwing to his right side, and, you know, he got sacked a lot, threw a lot of interceptions, and made a lot of mistakes. He was actually traded with a fourth-round pick to the Chicago Bears from the Seattle Seahawks for the Bears' first-round draft pick. What a mistake that was for the Bears. A big-time mistake, you know, for them to do that. And he only lasted one season with the Chicago Bears. And, unfortunately, he only lasted 1 year with the team, bounced around a few teams, spent some time with the Packers, played with the Jets in 1999, played with the 49ers after the departure of Steve Young due to a career-ending concussion that he suffered. Spent some time with the Raiders, spent a couple years with the Raiders, and he was last with the Detroit Lions in 2004. He signed with the team that year, but was only on the practice team, saw no playing time, and that was it. That was it for his career. He finished with 11,969 passing yards, 50 touchdowns, 76 INTs, with a 63.5 passer rating. Nonetheless, happy birthday to him. He turns 44 today, and you know, many happy returns. Speaking of a former Seahawk, he probably wishes he was with the Seahawks now. happy birthday to Corn Robertson, who was regarded as a talented receiver, but really never lived up to expectations. He might be regarded as one of the biggest draft busts in the history of the NFL amongst wide receivers. You certainly would have to put him up there among the top 10 from that position alone. He was drafted in 2001. He was ninth pick overall, coming out of North Carolina State. He spent some time there from 2001 to 2004. But this guy was he was a head case. He had some trouble off the field. He was arrested for drunk driving in 2005, pleaded guilty to one count of driving under the influence. In 2004, he was suspended for violating the substance abuse policy in the NFL. He just had some serious issues. He checked in and out of rehabilitation. And in 2006, he was once again arrested and incarcerated for driving while impaired. And it was unfortunate. It was unfortunate. It looked like he was going to turn the corner. That really didn't happen. And then in 2007, he was sentenced to 90 days in jail for fleeing police in an August 2006 case. He served the sentence at the same time he served 90 days for violating his probation in a separate drunk driving case in the state of Washington. So it was unfortunate for him. His career died. He never lived up to expectations. He spent some time with the Vikings in 2005, went to the Packers, played there for 2 years, came back to the Seahawks in 2008, and that was the last time he played for a NFL team. He did spend some time in the United Football League. He played for the Florida Tuskers. And then was traded to he was signed by the Florida Tuskers, I should say, and then traded to the New York Sentinels, but never really played much, never really did anything over in that league. He turns 34 today. He's been out of the NFL since 2008. And, you know, again, happy birthday to him. You know, you hate to see talented players go through situations like that, and it's just unfortunate. It's very unfortunate for him, and hopefully things will change for him. Hopefully things will change for him. From one former NFL guy to a current NFL guy, happy 56th birthday to current Kansas City Chiefs coach Andy Reid, who, you know, is best known obviously for his time in Philadelphia. He got his first coaching job in 1982. With Brigham Young University. He was a graduate assistant for the team. He went over to San Francisco State University from 83 to 85 as their offensive line coach. Took the same position at Northern Arizona University in 86. Same position at the University of Texas at El Paso from 87 to 88. And then he went over to University of Missouri from 89 to 91 with the same position. Got his first NFL coaching job from 1992 to 1994 with the Green Bay Packers as their offensive assistant. In 95 and 96, he was the offensive line coach of the team. And then from 97 to 98, he was the quarterback's coach and assistant head coach once again. Went on to become the Philadelphia Eagles head coach in 1999. He drafted Donovan McNabb. They were there together for a lot of years. And then as of last year, he was let go by the Eagles and picked up by the Chiefs as their head coach. And the Chiefs came off an 11-5 record, second in the AFC West. They were 9-0, actually, before losing their first game to division rival Denver. They ended up losing to the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC wildcard game in what was regarded as the second biggest comeback in NFL history, tied for the second biggest comeback, which is a 28-point deficit. That was tied with the 49ers' 28-point comeback against the Saints in the regular season game in 1980. It was the second biggest comeback in the history of the NFL playoffs, so that's something to behold. But if you're Andy Reid, that's not something that you want to be a part of because you were on the losing end. But nonetheless, happy birthday to him. He's 56 today, and he will look to recap on bigger expectations with the Chiefs team that will have their work cut out for them this year. Not only you got Denver in that division, but again, you're in the AFC. You got New England to contend with. Baltimore, you got to say them. You got to say Cincinnati, of course. Pittsburgh, they're not going anywhere. They're always going to be a team competing for the postseason. Indianapolis, of course, you know, you got to say them. So it's going to be a competitive AFC. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Andy Reid is going to do with his football team. So that should be something to look forward to. And, you know, good luck to him. He's going to need it for sure. Definitely. To the NBA, we got a couple birthdays to pass along, a few of them. Happy 35th birthday to Hedo Turkoglu, who is currently with the Los Angeles Clippers. He is best known for his time. Well, he was drafted in 2001. He was the 16th pick overall by the Sacramento Kings. He spent time in Turkey from 96 to 2000. He was part of that Kings team that they had probably some of their best moments in a long time within the last two decades. He played with Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, Doug Christie, Jason Williams before he was traded to the Memphis Grizzlies for Mike Bibby. They had some phenomenal moments, definitely. They didn't have a lot of success in terms of winning a championship, obviously, but they were a fun team to watch, and he was one of the benefactors because of that. During that time, he was considered for the NBA Sixth Man award winner, averaging 10.1 points per game and 4.5 rebounds. He was traded to the San Antonio Spurs in what was a three-team trade involving the Indiana Pacers. He spent some time with Orlando. He might have had more individual success with them, along with the likes of Dwight Howard, Rashard Lewis, Jameer Nelson. They went to the finals in 2009, came up short, losing to the Los Angeles Lakers in five games. And after that, he opted out of his contract, was signed and traded to the Toronto Raptors, spent some time there, spent a little bit of time with the Phoenix Suns, went back to Orlando, played a few more years there, and as of this year, he signed with the Clippers for the rest of this regular season. On January the 18th, he made his debut. In 13 minutes, he scored 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist in the loss to, ironically, the Indiana Pacers. As of his career, he has averaged 11.9 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, and 3.1 assists. He's a good shooter. He's a very good shooter. He's a talented guy. He's a good shooter, good rebounder, solid defender. And he is a part of a Clippers team that a lot of people are picking to come out of the Western Conference. We'll see about that, because the Western Conference is going to be absolutely competitive down the stretch. When you got the Spurs, you got the OKC Thunder, you got Portland. Phoenix is a young, upcoming team. They're a surprising team, so you can't take away from what they're doing. It's going to be a very competitive Western Conference postseason. Let's just put it that way. So happy birthday to him. He turned 35 today, and many happy returns. Happy birthday to Andre Miller, current point guard of the Washington Wizards, who just recently traded there from the Denver Nuggets during the trading deadline this year. He was drafted in 1999. He was the 8th pick overall, coming out of University of Utah. He was selected by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Spent a few years there, went to the Clippers, spent some time, had two stints with the Nuggets, spent some time in Philadelphia, spent some time in Portland. He was traded this year in a three-team trade that involved the Nuggets and, ironically, the 76ers, coming from Denver. And there was talks about him not getting along with Denver Nuggets head coach Brian Shaw, which led to his trade, supposedly. And because of that, he's now with the Wizards. The Wizards are looking to make a playoff run in the Eastern Conference. They're looking to get a playoff position, a playoff spot. So in the Eastern Conference, basically, you got Miami, you got Indiana, you got, surprisingly, Toronto. You got 4 to 5 spots, which are pretty much up for grabs. So Wizards are looking to do some things this year. So they're playing phenomenal. John Wall is doing some great things. You have got to tip your hat off to what they're doing. They are just playing good basketball. And currently they're 35-31. They're in second place in the division, the Southeast Division. Right now they're in the 5th seed in the Eastern Conference, which is good, because you don't have to worry about playing Miami and Indiana right now. So that's good for them. So if they hang on to that 5th spot, they'll be in solid shape. So Andre Miller is looking to be a major contributor as the Wizards are going forth in their playoff journey. And finally, happy birthday to Tyrone Hill, who's a former NBA player. this guy was known for one of the better rebounders in the game. He was a former first-round pick. He was drafted in 1990. He was the 11th pick overall, coming out of Xavier. He was selected by Golden State. Spent some time with Cleveland, Milwaukee. Had two stints with Philadelphia. Had two stints with Cleveland, actually, and last played in 2003 with Miami. He was a guy that part of the 76ers 2001 team that went to the finals, lost in 5 games to the Los Angeles Lakers. He was an NBA All-Star in 1995. and he was the Horizon League Player of the Year in 1990. He averaged 9.4 career points per game, 8.6 career rebounds, and 0.8 career assists per game. He was a tremendous, relentless defender, was just a rebounding prowess player. Say what you want about what the guy looked like, but he could get the rebound, and he could play good defense. So, happy birthday to him. He turns 46 today, and many happy returns. Well, the time is 7:30. March Madness is just kicking into high gear. We got some NBA games that are going to be taking place tonight as the NBA is looking to make its playoff position. We actually got some sad news to come out in. It's a little bit of sad news because you hate to see this happen to anybody. Cam Newton, quarterback of the Panthers, is going to have surgery on his ankle, which is going to keep him sidelined and rehabilitated for 4 months, which is going to carry over into the preseason. So that's tough news. The ankle injury actually occurred in that playoff loss to San Francisco, and actually, from what I was told, multiple sources basically said that the ankle injury was suffered in Week 16 and it carried over into the playoff game. So because of that, he is elected to have his surgery. Good for him, because you don't want to put it off. Expectations are going to be even higher on this kid as he goes into his fifth season. Fourth season. So expectations are definitely going to be high on this guy. So because of that, the Panthers are going to lose that chemistry between, you know, the receivers that they have on their roster now and the other pass catchers. So that's something to be aware of. But I expect him to come back strong, and I think he will. Like I said, the time is 7:30. We're actually going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some March Madness. I'm just looking forward to the tournament alone, and I'm looking forward to finding out from, you know, maybe some of you out there, anybody who's willing to call in. We're going to be taking calls all night regarding the NCAA tournament, so why not? Let's get it. Let's get it. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. The time is after 7:30, and we're going to be taking calls all night regarding the 2014 NCAA Tournament. You can call in anytime at 347-327-9586. And I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts about it. I mean, Rocket is here with you. Happy to be here tonight. We got a lot of games that are kicking off right now as we speak. You are more than welcome to check out some of your local games. We got games that are actually happening right now on ESPN2, the NIT first round. That game right now is between Illinois and Boston University, so you can check out that game. We got more games kicking off on ESPNU tonight. And tonight at 8 o'clock, we got the Pacers and Knicks on ESPN. You can check out NBA Countdown. Well, actually, don't check it out. Check out the Rocket Sports Breakdown. How about that? Yes, please do. Me being a Michigan State fan, I got to say, I'm riding Michigan State this year. I really feel like they're going to do it. They're the fourth seed in their current region. But what's to say that every one seed is going to just cruise and dominate? I mean, seriously, that doesn't always happen. And I think there's going to be a lot of pressure put on these number one seeds, especially if you're a Florida team starting four seniors and you're projected to be a team that's going to go all the way and just annihilate and beat everybody. Bump your brakes, folks. Okay? We don't know what's going to happen in this tournament. We really don't. That's why I'm kind of scared a little bit at the same time, because I don't know what team is going to rise to the occasion. I don't know what team is going to step out of the trenches and just say, hey, here's where we're at. This is what we're going to do. You know, we don't know that. We really have no idea. So let's just go with, okay, you know, let's just go with what's there, and let's just let the games be decided. Let the teams play. I think we're in a position where we don't do that enough. You know, we don't do that enough. We're always wanting to say, oh, that team's not going to have a shot. You know, and I'm at fault for saying that too, but let's let the games play, okay? Let's just let the games play, okay? So we're going to be talking about this all night, so feel free to chime in, call in, provide your 2 cents. I promise you, it's going to be something worth talking about. And if you are an NCAA fan, especially around this time of year, you are gearing up to take part and be a part of something that's going to be extravagant. And I advise people, I talked about this at the top of the show, please check out the Quicken Loans bracket on Yahoo Sports. It's called the Billion Dollar Bracket. You can go on there, fill it out for a chance to win $1 billion. And more will be explained to you as you go on there and check it out. Like I said, it's on Yahoo Sports. Check it out. Fill it out if you're comfortable doing it. And if you feel lucky, go for it. The world is yours. Do what you want. Go as you please. We got some NFL news. We got some more NFL news to pass along. You know, like I said, a lot went down from last week's show all the way up until now as far as teams that found a home, teams that, players that, as far as players that found a new home, players that are staying put with teams, and, you know, maybe a few players that were traded, you know, other players, and there's still a boatload of players that are still out there, still available. So the whole NFL free agency period is still ongoing. It's going to continue to be ongoing. But, you know, those first 3 to 5 days, well, actually those first 2 to 3 days are always the biggest, because you know for sure that some players, they already have a positive mindset of where they want to go. They just know for sure. They just waiting for, you know, that time to get here for them to go ahead and to, you know, sign their names on their dotted line with whatever team that they're going to sign for. So it's big. It's crucial. It's absolutely crucial. The Falcons have decided to re-sign defensive tackle Perea Jerry. Previously re-signed his top defensive tackles from last year, Jonathan Babineau and Corey Peters. Perry was a first-round pick from Mississippi in 2009. He set career highs last year with 35 tackles and 3.5 sacks. They have also added new names to the defensive line by signing free agent defensive end Tyson Jackson from Kansas City and defensive tackle Paul Solai from Miami. The terms of the deal were not disclosed, so the Falcons are trying to vamp up or revamp that defensive line. And they need to, because their defense has been their Achilles heel over the years, whether people want to believe that or not. The offense has been able to produce, but that defense is what's been kind of keeping them from going far, because they haven't necessarily been able to stop anybody. So let's just go with that. Let's just go in that direction. The NFL is actually considering adding, get this, two playoff teams, meaning it could possibly be an 18 playoff system. So NFL owners, according to Yahoo, NFL owners likely will consider expanding the playoffs by two teams beginning of next year when they hold their spring meetings in Orlando next week, but a vote on the subject is uncertain. Now, according to additional information, a groundswell for raising the number of playoff qualifiers to seven in each conference figures to get plenty of support from the 32 owners. Most notably, Arizona's Bill Bitwell, who saw his Cardinals go 10-6 and not get in, while Green Bay, who was 8-7-1, qualified by winning NFC North. Let me just explain something to you guys. And people need to understand this. Winning your division is crucial, okay? It's crucial. It just goes to show how important winning your division is and just settling for a wild card spot. It really adds the competitive feel to winning a division. You know, you're trying to outdo somebody in the same division as you. That's pretty much what it is. So I can understand what teams are venting their frustration, because we've seen this a lot over the years in the NFL. Teams win 10 games or 11 games and not get in. Most notably, the Chargers in 2005, they were 11-5 and did not make the playoffs. Instead, they were beat out for that final wild card spot by Pittsburgh, who was the sixth seed and ironically went on to win the Super Bowl that year. So take it for what it's worth. It is what it is. I think that maybe the NFL should look into doing something like that. Just add a little spice to it. If they're trying to do what they do in the NHL and the NBA as far as like having an 8-team playoff system. And I think baseball should take notice and really consider doing something like this too, because I don't like the playoff system in baseball. I've been going out on the limb and saying that for years. Seriously, something needs to be done about that. But we'll see if this even becomes considered. So we'll see how this situation goes down. I'm not so sure it's going to go down, because you're going to have to get votes from almost every team and every owner in order for this situation to be favored, because, again, some owners are all okay with it, and some owners aren't. So what's to say that everybody's going to be on the same boat here? That remains to be seen. So you can rest assured there will be more on this as time moves on within these next couple weeks. I can assure you there will be more information provided, most notably on the NFL Network and, of course, ESPN. And there will be more information that will be put out there regarding the playoff system. I think it would be interesting to see teams do that. You know, just think about it. We'll see. We'll see. It's something that they should take into consideration. Definitely. The Raiders agreed to deal with free agent offensive lineman Donald Penn to a 2-year contract. And that signing was created when Jarrett Bell here left as a free agent for the Arizona Cardinals. And when Roger Saffold, I talked about this on last week's show, when he failed his physical after agreeing to what was supposed to be a 5-year, $42.5 million deal with Oakland, he failed the physical, and he was forced to go back to St. Louis and agree to terms with them. So his contract is worth $9.6 million, $4.2 million guaranteed. He turns 30 next month. He was released by Tampa Bay earlier this month after the Buccaneers went in a different direction to sign Anthony Collins to a 5-year, $30 million contract to take over at left tackle. According to Ken, he suffered a chip on his shoulder from when the season ended because, you know, he felt like he was coming off a bad season. So, because of that, he felt like he was looking to redeem himself. So, and maybe a change of scenery might do him some good. He struggled a little bit last year in Tampa, giving up 12 sacks, including 9 in the final 6 games, according to Pro Football Focus, and that's not good. That's definitely not good. So, he was definitely more successful as a run blocker, and this is a situation where the Raiders are definitely going to need some improvement. To me, their run defense has been a problem a lot over the years. Their pass defense has been relatively well. Last year, they, at one point, they were in the top 10 in pass defense. That includes that game against Philadelphia where Nick Foles threw 7 touchdown passes and put up career numbers. The Raiders' pass defense hasn't always been an issue. It's that run defense. And we've seen them with them a lot over the years. Playing the division, when you're going up against some tough runners like Knowshon Moreno and Jamal Charles, Ryan Matthews, those are guys that are capable of putting up some numbers on your defense. So this is a situation that needs to be addressed. So it's a good sign. You know, any signing is always a positive signing if you're trying to, you know, revamp your offensive line and you're trying to make the move. So this is something I feel like the Raiders felt like they needed to do, and this is a situation where they had to do it. It had to be done, bottom line. So, yes, more power to them, and, you know, there are going to be more moves made in the NFL free agency period, you can rest assured. To the NBA, and, you know, I just want to run down some games that took place last night. We had, well, of course, everybody is talking about Phil Jackson with the position that he signed with the Knicks, you know, a team that he played for, ironically, back in the 70s. It's been 41 years since the Knicks last won a championship, and Phil Jackson was actually part of that. And it felt like this was a job, a position that he wanted, and he got it. James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, presented this opportunity to him, and Phil Jackson gladly took it. And I'll say good for him. The top priority for Phil Jackson, we all know this, is this offseason, getting Carmelo Anthony to stay put in New York, because Carmelo Anthony has come out on record by stating, I'm looking forward to testing the free agency market this upcoming offseason. So he's already looking forward to that. So you got that on your head. Now, if they don't find a way to keep him there, all the blame is going to go directly to Phil Jackson, because he was brought in for this purpose. This is one of the reasons he was brought in, to keep the core of this team together and to attract players. This is going to be a highly anticipated offseason. We've got LeBron James, possibly a free agent, Dwayne Wade, possibly a free agent, Chris Bosh, Dirk Nowitzki, and a handful of other players. In fact, I believe Amari Stoudemire is going to be a free agent this offseason. So let's see what happens as far as what he's going to do, what is his plan to build a championship contender, because New Yorkers have been, they've been itching for a championship team for the longest. The Knicks have came close in back in the 90s. I think it was 1994 against the Houston Rockets. They came up short in a 7-game series. Actually, it was 95. I'm sorry, it was 95. The Knicks never got that close again. Even last year, they won 54 games, but they lost in the second round to a Pacers team that was more motivated. It just had their number, apparently, completely had their number. So the top priority would be to get Carmelo Anthony to come back. If you can get Carmelo Anthony to come back, you'll be in solid good shape, because that's going to be the talk of the town in the state of New York with the Knicks organization for these next few months. Regardless of what the Knicks do, whether they make the playoffs or they don't make the playoffs, that's going to be the talk, okay? So, I'm anxious to see how this is going to turn out. I'm anxious to see how this is going to be. So, Phil Jackson is the team president for the first time in his basketball career. And I know he's been itching at the opportunity for a while. So, hey, go for it. Go for it. We have some scores that went down last night. Miami went on the road to beat Cleveland 100-96. LeBron James finished with 43 points. He had 25 in the opening quarter. Dwayne Wade did not play in that game. Kyrie Irving did not play for Cleveland. He's going to be out for the next couple of weeks with an ankle injury. Atlanta pulling off a big win at home over Toronto in overtime, 118-113. Atlanta is trying to hang on to that number 8 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They were the number 5 seed not too long ago, and then they just fell off. They had a bad losing streak, and everything started to kind of go downhill for a while. They're trying to hang on to that 8 spot for dear life. Golden State beating Orlando at home, 103-89. The Warriors are trying to make a playoff push themselves in the Western Conference. Washington lost a tough one at Sacramento, 117-111. That's not a game that you want to lose if you're the Washington Wizards. You don't really want to lose a game like that. You really don't want to. This is a game where this could come back to hurt you if you're not careful. And Portland taking care of business, beating Milwaukee at home, 120-115 in overtime. What a game this was. If you didn't watch it last night, it was actually a good game. It was a very good game. It was very competitive down the stretch. Milwaukee actually finished with 5 players in double figures, believe it or not. Their 2 leading scorers were Brandon Knight with 24 and Ramon Sessions with 23 coming off the bench. Portland had 5 players in double figures themselves. Wesley Matthews had 26, Mo Williams had 23, and Damian Lillard had 20, along with Nicholas Batum with 20. LaMarcus Aldridge did not play in this game last night. He's nursing an injury. Supposedly he did not play. But the rest of the guys picked up the slack. So good for them. Portland is trying to be one of those teams that gets the top seed in the Western Conference playoffs. They started to falter a little bit because they were the number one seed for a while. And they kind of started to fall off the radar just a little bit. But they're going to be up there. They're definitely going to be up there. You have to consider this team and what they're capable of doing. I just want to see what they're going to look like in the postseason. That's what I want to see. I want to see what this team's going to look like when healthy and what they're going to do. And if you've been watching this team, you should have a reason to feel excited for the future of this team, because it's been a long time coming for this Blazers team. They haven't really had much success since the Rasheed Wallace days, Brian Grant, Scottie Pippen, Steve Smith and those guys. It's been a long time coming. And when all those guys separated and moved on, this team started to kind of fall apart a little bit. So I kind of want to see what this Blazers team will do, because the Western Conference is deep right now. It is absolutely deep, extraordinarily deep. And that's one of the things that's exciting about the NBA postseason. You never know who's going to do what. You really don't. Everybody's talking OKC or San Antonio or the Clippers or Houston, but they're not really giving teams like Phoenix and Portland a chance. Dallas maybe, Minnesota maybe, assuming that they can sneak in there, and do some things. Golden State, we'll see about them and what they can do. But I'm anxious to see how this team's going to go forth and do some things. I'm just anxious to see what they're going to look like when the real deal starts. You know what I mean? So, we'll see. We got some games that are going to be taking place tonight. We actually got a couple games that are actually in progress, actually. Right now, we got the Chicago Bulls leading Philadelphia 43-36. Miami on the road in Boston. They're up 29-22. And that Bulls and Sixers game is currently in the second quarter. The Heat-Celtics game is in the first quarter. And Charlotte and Brooklyn, the Nets are right now up 18-17. That game is in the first quarter. Tonight we got the Pistons and Nuggets at 9 o'clock. Toronto and New Orleans, that's getting ready to kick off. Indiana and New York, like I said, that game's getting ready to kick off on ESPN. Utah and Memphis, that game's going to be taking place at 8 o'clock. Minnesota and Dallas, that game will be taking place at 8:30. We got Orlando at Phoenix later tonight at 10 p.m. And 10:30, the second of the doubleheader between the Spurs and the Lakers. We're going to take a quick break real fast. When we come back, we're going to talk some college basketball. We got one more hour left on air. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown on Blog Talk Radio. Right now, we're going to come back. We're going to talk college basketball. I know that's what you want. So that's what we're going to talk about. Our main event topic of the night, this is what we're going to talk about. We'll be right back. BlogTalkRadio.com, the Rocket Sports Breakdown. We'll return. Welcome back to the Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is 8 o'clock. We got one more hour left of airtime. Rocket is here with you. Feeling a whole lot better. Don't know if some of you knew about this, but, you know, yours truly was sick, you know, twice in the last 3 weeks, ever since his 28th birthday. I was just feeling so sick the day after my birthday, which was on the 27th of... the 27th of last month was the day after my birthday, and I woke up that day and just started feeling horrible, and that carried over for nearly a whole week. And then I got sick again over the weekend. I just started feeling a whole lot better yesterday, regaining more of my strength even as we speak now, so I'm feeling a whole lot better. Not quite where I should be, but getting up there, making a whole lot of progress. I'm feeling a lot more tremendous than before. And just blessed, man. Just happy. Feeling a whole lot better. The NCAA tournament has always been traditional to me, just for the simple fact that, you know, it's prestigious. There's a meaning to it. it's something to be said about, you know, the whole situation as far as, you know, how this tournament is played and, you know, who is that Cinderella team going to be? Because every year it seems like there's always that Cinderella team that just comes out of nowhere, surprises a few teams, gets to at least the Sweet 16 or maybe the Elite 8. And, you know, maybe even further than that. The thing that makes it so special to me is you never know what you're going to get. Just because you're the number one seed doesn't mean you're going to be the number one seed and you're going to play like it and you're going to win. You know what I mean? I think it's something to be said about it. You know, it's something to be said about, you know, about how the whole situation is just portrayed. Now, let's kind of, you know, rewind the clocks back a little bit. Let's kind of go back a little bit to as far as the whole Cinderella story. Okay, 1983, North Carolina State University. You know, the Wolfpack team. A lot of people remember this game. If you are a true college basketball fan, you will remember this game. The Wolfpack that year defeated the heavily favored High Slamma Jamma, that's what they were known by, the Houston Cougars, led by future Hall of Famers Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, who were on that team before both of those guys departed to the NBA. They were upset by a score of 54-52, and if you watch the play, and they actually show this on ESPN, they always show it around this time here because it's so prestigious. To win the entire NCAA men's tournament on Lorenzo Charles' last second tip-in. You remember the play. If you're a true college basketball player, you remember that play. You remember what it was like. You just remembered how that whole situation ended. It's unfortunate because you remember Jim Valvano, a.k.a. Jimmy B, what he meant. His story is being prestigious. And Lorenzo Charles, both of these guys have passed on. Jimmy B had passed on. April 28, 1993, so we're actually coming up on 21 years since his death. You remember what his speech was? If you watched the ESPY Awards, if you were someone that that watched just that moment because of what that situation meant. 1993, you know, at the ESPY Awards, which was 8 weeks before he died of cancer, you know, it was an inspirational speech. And if you haven't got a chance, go on YouTube, go on Vimeo or any other video website and look that up. Look up Jimmy B 1993 ESPY Awards speech. It's on there somewhere, and I promise you, it'll leave you emotionally distraught. You'll just be, you know, you may even come to tears because it was that emotional. It meant that much to not just college basketball, but just, and not just the world of sports, but just the world period. You know, it was one of the most inspirational moments that you'll ever see in the history of the ESPYs, and just a great inspirational moment period. You know, I have a great deal of respect for Jimmy B and what he meant. He was the coach for that team, and, you know, it was the only championship he won. But you know what? It's the only championship he needed to win. That's all he needed. That's all that mattered. He's got that. He's got that on his resume, and he'll forever be remembered for that. Let's just look at it that way. Lorenzo Charles' story was a little bit differently, but it ended badly, you know, because he's no longer here. On June 27, 2011, know, just a few years ago. He was involved in a bus crash on Interstate 40 in Raleigh, North Carolina. He was at the controls of an Elite Coach rental bus, which did not have passengers. And it was a serious collision. Apparently he died instantly. He passed on at the age of 47. And he was actually interred at Oakwood Cemetery in Raleigh, which is 20 paces from his head coach, Jimmy V. And I think that's special. You know, that right there. I think that was special for them to do that. To have him be buried close to his old coach. I think that's special. Lorenzo Charles had a long-lasting career in basketball. He only played 1 year, and he only played 1 year in the NBA. Went on to play for a lot of different other teams overseas, played in different leagues. But that play that he did for his college team, go on YouTube and check it out. SportsCenter, they always have these old clips where they show it over and over again. But just go and watch it, just that buzzer beater, just seeing Jimmy B running on the court celebrating after that victory. It was one of the best moments you'll ever see in the history of college basketball. And that's what Cinderella Sports meant. Let's go back even further. 1966, the Texas Western Miners, little-known college team, advanced to the NCAA championship game where they defeated 3-0 powerhouse Kentucky by a score of 72-65 to win the school's only men's basketball national title to date. Okay? But you know what? That's it. That's all he needed. That's all he needed. And this situation was so special because they're best remembered for the fact that this team utilized an all-black starting lineup at a time where many universities, particularly in the South, were resisting integrating their athletic team, you know, including their Kentucky team, which is an all-white team at the time. So, you know, racial tensions were, you know, were big at that time. And this was inspired by a film that came out 40 years later, 2006, which is called Glory Road. And if you haven't got a chance to watch it, please watch it. It's one of the best sports movies you will ever see. I thought Josh Lucas did a terrific job being the lead character. Some of the other characters which were involved in this movie, some of the other actors, I should say, were involved. John Voight, Derek Luke, Evan Jones. It was just a big inspirational story. You know, Don Haskins was a phenomenal coach. He passed away September 7, 2008 at the age of 78. Died in El Paso, Texas. His overall head coaching record was 719 and 353. A 67% career winning percentage. And this guy, you know, was a leader. And he meant a lot to that team. He meant a lot to that organization, to that dorm, to that school. And to see that, be portrayed, I thought was phenomenal. If you haven't got, if you haven't got a chance to see Glory Road, please watch the movie. You'll love it. You'll definitely love it. It's a phenomenal movie. It's one of the best sports movies you'll ever see. You know, because it was based off of what transpired 40 years before this film came out in 2006, and I enjoyed watching it. And you know, it's always an inspirational piece. So, again, This is what makes college basketball so special. It's what makes it so special, such a big deal. People need to take the time to really appreciate it. Seriously, because you never know how it's going to be portrayed. You know what I mean? You never know how it's going to be, you know, how it's going to be built. You know how it's all going to come down. You know what I mean? So, seriously, I'm looking forward to seeing this tournament be played. I'm looking forward to it. I know everybody else is looking forward to it. You know, it's going to go down. It's going to go down. Tomorrow night, it's going to go down. And this is what I'm looking forward to watching. I'm looking forward to watching a lot of these games. A lot of these games are going to be tipping off early. So if you have access to stations such as your local CBS station, TNT, TBS, the True station, it's going to be a lot of these games are going to be going down. A lot of these games are going to be taking place tomorrow. We got number 13, Delaware against number 4, Michigan State. You know I'm going to be going with my boys. Number 15, Wofford against number 2, Michigan. Of course, I'm going to be supporting Michigan as well. I actually have Michigan and Michigan State for all the marbles. I picked those two teams in an online bracket last year that I filled out on Yahoo. I filled out where I had Michigan and Michigan State going against each other in the top two. And it almost happened. It almost happened. We got number 11, Dayton, against number 6, Ohio State. Number 15, American, against number 2, Wisconsin. Number 9, Pittsburgh, against number 8, Colorado. Number 12, Harvard, against number 5, Cincinnati. Number 14, Western Michigan, against number 3, Syracuse. Number 10, BYU, against number 7, Oregon. Number 16, Albany, against number 1, Florida. Florida, better be careful. Better be careful. Number 10, St. Joseph, against number 7, Connecticut. Number 12, NC State, against number 5, St. Louis. Number 12, North Dakota State, against number 5, Oklahoma. Number 15, Milwaukee, against number 2, Villanova. Number 10, Arizona State, against number 7, Texas. Number 13, Manhattan, against number 4, Louisville. And number 13, North Mexico State, against number 4, San Diego State. Those are the games that are going to be taking place tomorrow. If you have a chance to watch it, please watch it. This is it. This is going to be the real deal. So, and like I said, I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm excited. It's not every day I get to watch the college basketball games during the regular season. I don't even get a chance to watch all the games in the tournament. But you do keep tabs on every game. That's the most important thing. You keep tabs on all the results, whether you get a chance to watch the games or not. They always show the highlights. So, you know, this is it. And to me, the game that I'm really looking forward to the most, and I think, you know, not everybody's going to feel the same way. You might not feel the same way, but I think the game to really look out for is number 9 Pittsburgh against number 8 Colorado. That's a game to really look out for. Harvard against Cincinnati, that's going to be a very interesting matchup too, because of what Harvard has been doing this year and because of what Cincinnati has been doing this year. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. It's going to be an intriguing matchup. BYU against Oregon, that's going to be a big matchup because of just what those two teams are going to be doing. Florida being number 1, you know, Albany is not going to be a pushover, I can tell you that right now. Now, Florida, they're starting 4 seniors this year. Tremendous chemistry between those guys. They're just as lethal and probably the most lethal number 1 seed out of all the number 1 seeds in this year's tournament. So that's something to keep in mind. But like I said, Albany is not going to be a team that you expect to run over. You got to take a team like them serious because they're a team that's in the tournament. They're in the tournament for a reason. They have every right to be in this tournament. They earned it, and they're here. And I think all these games are going to be intriguing matchups just for the simple fact that there's going to be a lot of expectations on the majority of these teams, and there could be a potential upset or two. They really could. And again, if you're a high-seeded team and you're going up against a seed team that's like 10 or below, if you're not careful, you can lose focus and seriously be upset. And that's not something that you want, but it's highly capable of happening. And we've seen this happen numerous times in college basketball. So that's something to keep in mind of. And again, I'm looking forward to just watching the game. I'm not going to do no actual bracket, just a simple fact that I gave up after the last 2 years because, again, you know my situation, you know my story, but that shouldn't stop you from filling out your bracket and putting all the chips down. So go for the jugular. Go for what you want because deep down you feel like it's an opportunity for you to, you know, be excited, to really be involved in the games. It's almost like filling out or picking a Super Bowl team, you know. That's what it is. That's what it feels like. It almost kind of feels like that a little bit. So that's what makes college basketball so prestigious. That's what it makes it what it is. And I can't wait, man. I can't wait. I really can't wait. And again, like I said, I picked, and I'm just going to put this out here. These were, you know, I wanted to pick my brackets as far as, like, who do I got in the Final Four because, you know, everybody's picking the Final Four. And, you know, it's something that, you know, there's something to be said about picking at least a Final Four if you're into it, you know, as opposed to just sitting back and watching it. So I'm going to go out on record. I'm going to say my Final Four, I got Michigan State and Michigan, obviously. I'm a homer. So what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? Ain't nothing wrong with that, okay? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I also got, believe it or not, I got Florida. I got Florida coming out of the South region. Believe it or not, I got Florida coming out of the South region. I got obviously Michigan State coming out of the East region. I got Michigan coming out of the Midwest, and then the Western is where it gets a little tricky because I'm kind of torn between picking Arizona or maybe possibly Wisconsin because, you know, it's a Big Ten team. And I will support a Big Ten team that wins the championship, even if it is Ohio State. And then you got Oklahoma, Gonzaga. You don't know what to think about them. Creighton. You know, I don't know. But I got Arizona coming out of the West because originally that's who I picked in my original bracket. So I got Arizona. I got Florida. So I got two number one seeded teams in the Final Four. And, of course, I got Michigan State and Michigan. And I got Michigan State and Michigan in the championship. And I got Michigan State winning it all. And if it doesn't happen, I will be the first to go on Facebook and basically put out, hey, I was wrong, okay? Last year, between Michigan and Louisville, that game left a bitter taste in my mouth. And if you were friends with Rocket on Facebook, you will know that I was ranting the entire game all night, even after the game was over, because I felt like the whole Kevin Ware injury from Louisville had a lot to do with Louisville's success winning and becoming a champion. I really felt like that was the situation, because sometimes when these championship teams win, it's always like a background. It's got to be some sort of a story to go with the team going all the way in their journey to winning the championship, especially in college basketball. And I felt like that was the perfect storyline. It was. It was the perfect metaphor. Let's be honest. It was what it was. I'm happy that Kevin Ware was able to get back on his own 2 feet eventually. But I felt like that was just bad, just the way that game ended the way it did. I felt like Michigan had a lot of momentum, and I felt like the referees are part of taking that momentum away from them, including one of the most controversial plays you will ever see in a college basketball game. That Trey Burke play, which turned out to be a foul, it was a complete block. I can't believe they called a foul on that. That really ticked me off because He got all ball on that play. And if you watch the game, you know exactly what the hell I'm talking about. I was pissed. I'm still there pissed, man. Still pissed. Still totally, totally PO'd from that. And that game left me with a bad taste in my mouth. Of course, on that Michigan team, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr. moved on to the NBA. But I don't think Michigan is as lethal as they were last year, but you can't count them out. Stoudemire is playing phenomenal. He's their undisputed best player. Spike Albright, he's doing some things. Lynn Robinson III, he's doing some things. And, of course, Michigan State, when healthy, they are the most dangerous college basketball team in the world. And everybody has been going out and saying it. So I got to tip my hat off to the guys from ESPN. I don't always do this because I'm not that big of an ESPN fan like I used to be. But I got to tip my hat off to the likes of Digger Phelps, Jay Billis, who's my favorite college basketball analyst. Big ups to you, Jay Williams. You know, those guys were just on the money. Basically, you know, they said the same thing. When healthy, Michigan State is the most dangerous team in the college basketball tournament right now, and that's a team that nobody is going to have to play. I almost feel sorry for Delaware. Let's just put it that way. Seriously, they're going to be lethal. And Tom Izzo should have a chip on his shoulder because of their exit to the likes of Duke in last year's tournament. They should have every right to feel empty and to feel disappointed and to feel angry. And, of course, Michigan State's been battling injuries from some of their players all year long. Finally, they're healthy. Let's get the ball rolling. This is it. Chips are down. Put the marbles on the table. I can tell you right now, I think that you do not want to have to face Michigan State. I've been saying it for the last week now. I've been telling everybody, everywhere I've been going, they're lethal. You don't want none of Michigan State. I can tell you right now, you don't want none of the Spartans. They are ready. They are poised. They are ready to get it going. You could just see the players. You could just see the language of the players, the way that they're feeling right now. They are ready to go. Okay? It's time to get it going. It's time to get it going. And I can't wait for this. I can't wait for these games. My eyes will be glued to the screen for the most part tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing some of these games tip off. And the Michigan State-Delaware game, that game will be taking place at 4:30 on TNT. You can catch that. To all you Michigan peoples out there, I got to put my Michigan peoples on the spot first. That game will be taking place at 7 o'clock on CBS. The Dayton-Ohio State game, that game will be 12 o'clock on 12 p.m. noon on CBS, 12:15 to be more exact. American against Wisconsin, 12:30 on the True Station. Pittsburgh against Colorado, 1:30 p.m. on CBS. Harvard and Cincinnati, that might be the most intriguing matchup tomorrow. 2 o'clock p.m. on TNT. Western Michigan against Syracuse, 2:45 p.m. on CBS. BYU at Oregon, 3 o'clock on True TV. Albany against Florida, 4 o'clock on TBS. St. Joseph's in Connecticut, 6:55 p.m. on TBS. NC State against St. Louis, 7:20 p.m. on TNT. Milwaukee against Villanova, 9:25 p.m. on TBS. North Dakota State against Oklahoma, 7:30 p.m. on True. Arizona State against Texas, 9:30 p.m. on CBS. Manhattan against Louisville, 9:50 p.m. on TNT. And New Mexico State against San Diego State, that will be the last game to air on TV. That game will be taking place at 10 p.m. on True, on the True Station. So if you have access to at least half of these games, I advise you to watch it. Especially if you want to get your money's worth, it would be a great opportunity for you to sit back and watch these games. So check these games out. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, We're going to have a wrap-up these last 30 minutes. We're going to be taking calls, so feel free to call and chime in, please. This is the Rocket Sports Breakdown here on blogtalkradio.com. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Welcome back to the Rock.
Rocket Sports Breakdown. Time is after 8:30. And we got some NFL news to pass along. You know, with the free agency period, there's always some possible trade rumors as far as who's going to get shipped somewhere, who's going to end up getting dealt somewhere. Right now, one of those big names is Chris Johnson. Well, I guess we could start calling him the former Titans running back. Right now, there are a few teams that are interested in his services. Those teams include the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Broncos. If they don't bring back Sean Marino, and the Cardinals and the Jets. Speaking of the Jets, Michael Vick is expected to meet with the Jets this Friday, so it looks like he's going to end up signing a contract. He's leaning more towards the Jets. They want him. He wants to go there and play, apparently. So it looks like by this weekend, Michael Vick will be a New York Jet. His former teammate, apparently, former wide receiver DeSean Jackson, he is currently on the trade block from what we have been told from some of the possible rumors. And it looks like the Patriots and the 49ers are both interested in him. Imagine DeSean Jackson catching passes from Tom Brady. Think about that for a second. Now, the Patriots, they already re-signed Julian Edelman. You know, we don't know when Rob Gronkowski will be returning next year, but he will be returning at some point next season. I'm anxious to see how that's going to look like, because that would be big. That would be big. That would be real big for the Patriots offense. I still think their defense is going to take a big hit, not having to lead, not having Vince Wilfork. And you're only going to have Darrell Revis for one season. Is he automatically going to make the Patriots that much better? I'm not so sure. I'm not sold on that move. And I don't think anybody should be sold on that move, because it's only a one-year, $12 million contract. It's not like they signed him for the long term, which, you know, would be a whole different issue we're talking. Okay? So let's just put it that way. But it is what it is. I could picture DeSean Jackson going to either New England or San Francisco. Colin Kaepernick could certainly use another target to throw. They kept Anquan Boldin. You already got Vernon Davis. You already got Michael Crabtree. But Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree are not slot receivers. They're deep pass catching receivers. They're guys that like to go for the long ball. DeSean Jackson will be a guy, a perfect guy in that system to catch the pass up the middle with his quickness and his speed. It would be a perfect equivalent to what San Francisco wants to do offensively. That's just my opinion. Same thing in Cleveland. I know they got Amendola, but having DeSean Jackson on that offense will be also big. It'll be just as big. So, you know, why not take that chance? Why not take that chance? I think personally that's a possibility. That's a huge possibility. Just think about that for a second. Just think about that. But if I'm the Eagles, do I want to give him up? I don't think I would want to lose him. I think, personally, you can never have too many weapons if you're Philadelphia. You just got Darren Sproles. You got LeSean McCoy coming back. You got, you know, Jeremy Maclin, Riley Cooper, Jason Avant, who did not play this past year. You got him coming back. Hey, why lose or afford to lose DeSean Jackson? Unless you can get some valuable service out of the guy, then I can understand that. But I also feel like you don't want to lose him for nothing either. You know, that's something to take into consideration. And also, Maurice Jones-Drew is currently meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I could see that possibly being a fit. You got Maurice Jones-Drew. You got Le'Veon Bell. The Steelers, they want to go back to being that power running team. And they need to. But that's always been their foundation, being more of a running team. Not necessarily have Ben Roethlisberger throw 30-plus times to win a game for you, you know, because I think that's one of the reasons why he's been taking such a beating, because they still have offensive line problems. Say what you want. Even when they won their two Super Bowls, especially the last one that they won against the Cardinals a few years back, they still had a bad offensive line. If it wasn't for Ben Roethlisberger's playmaking ability and his strength, his toughness, I'm not so sure the Steelers go all the way and win that Super Bowl. But they did what they were supposed to do at the right time. They got hot exactly when they were supposed to. And sometimes that helps. That helps. We noticed a lot of teams do that. The Giants, they've done it. The Ravens, they did it. The Seahawks, they got real hot when they were supposed to. It helps. It helps a lot. It helps an awful lot. So be that as it may, you know, there's still going to be some more moves being made. And I'm looking forward to seeing the draft, though. I really want to see what the draft is going to be. I'm hearing bad reports of guys like Blake Bortles, Teddy Bridgewater didn't have a great workout so far. Johnny Manziel, the knock on him is he's got bust written all over him. I just want to see the draft, because at the end of the day, the bottom line is what it all boils down to is when those players put on an NFL uniform, regardless of whatever team drafts them, that's when we'll find out for sure if they have what it takes and what they can bring to the table. That's what's going to matter right now. It doesn't always completely matter what you're doing right now as far as your workout ability, your athletic ability. It's going to matter what you put on that uniform and what you do at that point. That's what's going to matter. If a player's draft stock drops, then so be it. We've seen a lot of draft steals. Tom Brady was drafting the 7th-round pick. What more do you need to know? Look how great he turned out. So it's not always about getting that guy in the first round or that guy who's going to be a first-round pick, because there's been a lot of tremendous busts in the first round. I was watching the NFL Network on YouTube, the top 10 draft busts of all time, and they had guys like I talked about earlier, Rick Myers, who had a birthday today. He was on that list. Ryan Leaf, he was number one on that list. Lawrence Phillips, who's arguably the biggest running back draft bust of all time. You had Art Schleister. You had the quarterbacks from the University of Houston, Andre Ware and David Klinger. They never panned out on the NFL level. And it was unfortunate. It was very unfortunate to see that. And it just goes to show you, you know, and then Tim Couch is on that list too. Kelly Smith, he wasn't on that list, but he was also bust as well. You know, as far as the whole quarterback position, and we've seen a lot. David Carr, Joey Harrington, right now, Josh Freeman, you know. But he wasn't necessarily a high pick. Alex Smith looked like he was going to be a draft bust before 2011, before Jim Harbaugh came in and took over as the coach for the 49ers. And he's been playing better. Even going to Kansas City, he's playing better football. But just because you get that quarterback in that first round, whether you get him early in the first round or late in the first round, doesn't necessarily mean that guy is going to pan out. You know, it's all about finding the right system for the guy. So if I'm a guy, let's say I'm Johnny Manziel and I don't get picked in the first round, that's nothing to be ashamed of. That's nothing to be discouraged about. When somebody misses out on you, somebody else is going to take a chance on you. And they're going to see you for what you do, and they're going to bring you in, and you're going to work hard. You might have to compete for a starting job, but you're going to be a guy that's going to come in with that certain level of expectation, and you're going to be a guy that's going to come in and do something. And what you do carries over from practice and training camp to preseason, the real deal, and what you do beyond that is up to you. Your success falls on you directly. Your coach can only do so much for you. Your teammates can only do so much for you. At the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself and go out there with the fact knowing, hey, this is my time. I feel like I can do this. I feel like this is my opportunity for me to showcase my talent, for me to showcase myself in the way in which I believe in what I'm doing. And that's what it is. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. So take that and run with it, okay? And to all your quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles, and to any other player, really, no matter what your position is, if you are a guy expected to be picked in the first round and you don't get taken in the first round, don't get discouraged. It happens. It happens more often than you know. Okay? Be that as it may, don't let that stop you from working hard when you do get taken by somebody and elevating yourself to the player that that team expects you to be, that organization, those fans, and everybody else. Because that's what it is. That's all it is, really. That's what it mainly is. So utilize that. Use that to your advantage. Because you're going to have a lot to work with. I promise you, you are going to have a whole lot to work with on your resume. That's the main thing. I think we should take that into consideration, and we should seriously respect that. And just let these players go out there and give it the absolute best. So that's what it is. That's what it's going to come down to. That's what it's going to come down to. So, just want to pass that information along and let these players know, hey, you know, it's nothing to be discouraged about. Okay? Absolutely nothing to be discouraged about. Wanted to take a quick opportunity. We have some games, like I said, they're getting started in the NBA right now. In the third quarter, we got the Bulls up on the Sixers, 70-66 right now. At halftime, we got the Heat up on the Celtics, 59-53. The Charlotte Bobcats are losing in Brooklyn to the Nets, 54-46 at the half. In the second quarter, we got New Orleans at home over Toronto, 39-29. The Pacers are down in New York to the Knicks, who just introduced Phil Jackson out there in the court. Got a standing ovation. The Knicks are currently winning the game right now, 21-15. You can switch over to ESPN and feel free to check that game out anytime. Utah is currently losing in Memphis, 37-28. That game's in the second quarter. That Pacers and Knicks game is in the second quarter as well. The second quarter just got started. And right now, the Minnesota T-Wolves and the Dallas Mavericks, that game just tipped off in the first quarter. The T-Wolves are up by a score of 9-5. The Pistons and Nuggets are getting ready to tip off in about 15 minutes. The Spurs and Lakers, that game will be the second half of the ESPN doubleheader. The second game of the ESPN doubleheader, I should say, out there in the Staples Center. I wonder how Lakers fans are feeling right now. I wonder. I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm not disappointed to see Phil Jackson not be a part of the Lakers organization no longer. I'm not disappointed. He made a decision that he felt was best for him, and I put this squarely on the shoulders of Jim Buss. I think if Jerry Buss was still alive, I think Phil Jackson would be a part of the Lakers organization. I think Jim Buss' ego is huge, and something needs to be done about that. I think Jeannie Buss should seriously step in. She probably doesn't want to, but I feel like she has to. And then the other game at 10 o'clock, we got Orlando taking on Phoenix. So, but anyway, Jeannie Buss is a lovable person. I've heard so many great things about her. She has a phenomenal, positive reputation. I think she should be the person to be running the Lakers organization thoroughly. That's just how I feel. And a lot of people feel the same way. Because if Jeannie Buss had her way, Mike D'Antoni would not be the head coach. He would be fired tomorrow, okay, regardless of what the Lakers would be doing. So that's just how I feel about the situation. And I think something should be done about that. Eventually, something should be done about that. We got some MLB scores. You know, training camp is still happening. We got one game that's currently in progress. We got the Pittsburgh Pride Pirates down in Boston to the down to the Boston Red Sox. The fifth inning just ended. Sixth inning is getting ready to start. Yankees beat up on the Braves by a score of 7-0. Milwaukee over Seattle 9-7. Philadelphia losing it to Toronto 11-6. The Angels over the White Sox in a high-scoring game 14-10. The Oakland A's big up on the Indians 13-3. Tampa Bay up over Baltimore 7-4. Minnesota losing to St. Louis 3-1. And Houston over Washington 2-0. We got two more games that are getting ready to start. Cincinnati, Kansas City, that game's getting ready to start in about 20 minutes. And in about another hour, the Chicago Cubs will take on the Colorado Rockies. Can't wait for baseball to start. I'm looking forward to it. Expectations are going to be on some of these teams. Oh, yes. You can rest assured on that, okay? And over in the NHL, we got a few games that are currently in progress right now. We got Tampa Bay up on Toronto by a score of 4-2. That game's in the second period. St. Louis losing right now in Chicago by a score of 1-0. First period is getting ready to end in that game. And Colorado and Winnipeg are tied at 2 apiece. The first period just ended in that game. And then later tonight, we got Nashville taking on Vancouver at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And I want to take a look at the NHL standings real quick. I want to get some more respected NHL standings real quickly. Right now, as far as points, Boston's on top. They got 99 points in the Eastern Conference. And they're on top as they should be. Pittsburgh has 94 points, the second most in the Eastern Conference. In the Western Conference, you got St. Louis. They got 101 points to lead everybody. And Anaheim is tied with San Jose for 97 points. For the second most in the Western Conference. So, the wild card standing as put right now, you got Toronto, Columbus, Washington, Detroit, New Jersey, Carolina, Ottawa, the New York Islanders, Florida, and Buffalo. And the race really isn't that close right now. You got Toronto holding it down. In the Eastern and the Western Conference, you got Minnesota holding it down. Phoenix is close. Dallas, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. So we got some serious games that are going to be taking place. Playoff positions are going to be determined. Playoffs are actually right around the corner if you think about it in the NHL. If you think about it. You don't have that far to go, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of these games are going to be happening, and the season's going to be over real soon. Very, very, very soon. So let's just look at it that way from that perspective. I would say about a couple more weeks, about 2.5 weeks left of the NHL regular season, and playoffs are going to be starting. And as a Red Wings fan, I really hope that they get there and keep that playoff streak going. It's been, what, 21, 22 years now? Executive season in the postseason. That's a tremendous accomplishment in its own. It is. It is. That's a big accomplishment. So, and again, the NCAA tournament, I'm just looking forward to who's going to set their game up. Who's going to go out there and show the world that they are right where they should be. And to the number one seeds, expectations are going to be higher on them because not only are you the number one seed, but you got a lot going on your shoulders right now. So if you're a team like Florida, you're a team like Arizona, you are expected to run the table, really. And that's how it is when you're a number one seed team. So I look at it like, I think that you're not going to see all four number one seeds in the final four. I can almost guarantee you. It's usually impossible because it's so competitive nowadays with these NCAA tournaments over the years. it's impossible for every number one seed team to make it. Some number one seed teams don't always make it, period. So that's something in its own, you know what I mean, to take into consideration. So that's how I feel about the whole situation. And I think that's something that should be taken, you know, into consideration when it comes to making these picks. So if you're filling out a bracket, just be aware of who you're picking, why you're picking them, and, you know, if you got money on the line, I advise you to be extremely careful, because I would hate to be you having to show up at work the next morning and somebody standing in front of your office waiting for you to cough up the cash and you ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? So be aware of who you're picking and why you're picking them, okay? And I just want people to take that to extreme consideration, because it's a big deal when it comes to making these picks, and it's also a bigger deal when it comes to knowing what you're up against when you're picking a team to go to the Final Four. Okay? So, you know, do the right thing. Do the right thing, and again, make sure that you're picking the teams for the right reason and not just picking them just because of who they are. You're picking them because you expect them to win. You expect them to move forward in the tournament until the top two, regardless of whoever those top two teams are that you are picking to win. So, you know, just have that in your mindset, you know. Have that lingering in the back of your head. And good luck to every single team participating in this tournament. Good luck to every team participating in the NIT, the teams that are still going. Good luck tomorrow. It kicks off, y'all. It kicks off, baby. It's going to be on, baby. And I'm looking forward to watching most of these games. So get y'all popcorn ready, because it's going to be a show. It's going to be a show. It's going to go down. Get ready for a power trip. All right? We're about coming to the end of tonight's show. Want to say thank you all who tuned in and listened, even though you were too scared to call in. Next week, we're going to be back on air at the same time with a different topic in mind. So be on the lookout. It'll be posted on Facebook. It'll be also on blogtalkradio.com. Big ups to the entire Rocket Nation, to everybody that supports yours truly. Thank you. Thank you tremendously. Without your contributions, don't know where I'd be without you. I really don't know where I would be without you. To everybody who is a college basketball fan, big ups to you and big ups to your teams. To all my peoples out there performing tonight, do your thing. To all my local peoples in the D, in Detroit, performing somewhere in Michigan, keep doing your thing. And performing anywhere and everywhere, keep doing your thing. Regarding yours truly, I will be back on stage next Monday, either at Laugh Tracks Comedy Club in Livonia or the New Way Bar in Royal in Ferndale. So if you're in the Michigan area, feel free to come and check out some open mic shows. We got some films. Got some films going to be coming out this year. I will keep you posted. Check me out on Facebook. Facebook.com/Christian, C-R-I-S-T-E-N, Rocket Adams. Type that name in the search bar on Facebook. You will most likely find me. Check me out. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So check me out. Looking forward to being back on air next week. Next Wednesday, same time, blogtalkradio.com, the Rocket Sports Breakdown, 7 p.m. And thank you. Thank you to everybody who supports this show, to everybody who supports Rocket, to everybody out there that's doing something constructive with your lives. Thank you. Rocket is back to full strength. He'll be back to greater strength as this week progresses. Keep doing what you do. God bless every single one of you. You can feel free to switch over to the Knicks-Pacers game. That game is on ESPN. If you're a college basketball fan, checking out the NIT games, you can check it out on ESPN2 and ESPNU as well. Good luck to all your teams. So on behalf of Rocket, behalf of the Rocket Nation, thank you all once again. See you next week. Until then, Rocket Nation, get ready for a power trip.